I was at the eye doctor this week. It was one of those in-your-face reminders that I'm not only growing old, but my body is wearing out and that I need help, in this case, to see in new ways. Some of us have been reading and studying Paula Houston's book entitled A Season of Mystery, 10 Spiritual Practices for a Happier Second Half of Life. Paula's book is a helpful reminder that the experience of aging is not just about decline and decrepitude, not just about increasing infirmity, limitation, and the winding down of life, but the experience of aging can also be a grace-filled time of profound learning, insight, and wisdom. Theologian and spiritual author Wendy Wright, in her article in the latest issue of the journal Weavings, comes to a similar conclusion in reflecting on her own perceived obsolescence or irrelevance as she approaches retirement. There is a kind of blessed irony, she writes, in being marginalized and trivialized by the youth-driven economic and material productivity of our present culture. The willingness to enter into this last phase of our life with courage and trust is a sign of maturity. Our willingness to live into the full spectrum of our years might be a graced acknowledgement of the hidden ground of love, which is the alpha and omega of our lives. Coincidentally, or not so coincidentally, I came across the writing this week of poet and philosopher Mark Nepo. In his book, 7,000 Ways to Listen, he ponders the experience of losing his hearing thanks to the chemo treatments 20-plus years ago that saved his life. He writes, "Mysteriously, those of us losing our sight are somehow compelled to a deeper seeing, just as those of us losing our hearing are somehow compelled to a deeper listening." He goes on, "My balance point between inner and outer has shifted more toward the inner. My hearing loss has only pointed up the physics of listening that we all face. No matter our starting point or our acuity or our diligence, there is always something we can't hear." Surprisingly, Nepo then posits that a fuller life of listening requires paying attention to two different realities: our own inward voice of truth and the voice of truth of others. We hear more together, is how he puts it. And this commitment to each other lies, he says, at the center of both peace and reverence. At the end of his life, the Apostle Paul pens two letters to his young protege Timothy. The first of these letters is a list of do's and don'ts, instructions on how to organize and maintain the church. But the second letter takes a much different direction and tone, much more personal, beginning with words of commendation and encouragement, words meant to bolster Timothy for the long haul, reminding him of what will sustain him through every twist and turn of life. "Remember where you come from and the treasure you have been given," is part of the message. That's good advice, important advice, even essential advice for us today. Like flowers and trees and all forms of vegetation, when we lose touch with our roots, we are in trouble. Whenever we gather for worship, reading scripture and retelling the old, old story, we are invited to remember. Whenever we gather at the communion table, we hear again Jesus' words, "Remember, remember me, remember." Along with remembering and reconnecting, Paul also counsels us to kindle the fire within us. When Paul first laid hands on Timothy, he recognized something special in Timothy. And he does not want Timothy to lose sight of it or forget it. How easy in the press of life, in the busyness of our days, in the endless list of tasks and responsibilities that fall to us, how easy it is to lose touch with that which provides our foundation and that which is most precious inside of us. Paul does not want Timothy to forget. Quite the contrary, he wants Timothy to stir up that which is inside of him and fan it into flame. Paul does his best to point Timothy to the inward fire, the holy fire, God's fire that dwells in him, and to do everything he can to let that inward light and truth flourish. The truth is, each of us has received treasure. Each of us has been given gifts, including an inward fire or light from God. And part of our work as the body of Christ is to help each other kindle and rekindle again and again the gifts, the truth, the fire that we have received. About a month ago, a woman named Rachel Macy Stafford wrote an online column that reported an important finding among college athletes. They were asked what it is that their parents can say to them that makes them feel good. What it is that their parents can say or do that will make them have a sense of joy during a game and at the end of the game. The persons who are tracking athletes over a period of time came to the following conclusion. It was summed up best in six simple words. I love to watch you play. Just that. I love to watch you play. Not I love when you rip the quarterback's head off. Not, boy, that was good when you hit the game-winning home run. Not, well, you're trying real hard, I'm proud of you, but I love watching you play. Rachel Macy Stafford goes on to extrapolate the many different ways that she might adopt that sentence and adapt it to her own situation in life, not only in dealing with her children, but also in dealing with her husband. On the spur of the moment, she writes him a note and reports in her article the content of that note. I love watching you help our daughter learn to roller skate. I love watching you teach her how to throw a football. I love watching you take care of your employees in times of need or uncertainty. I love watching you interact with your siblings. I love watching you read with our daughter. I love watching you take care of our family. Stir up the flame that is within you. How do we help each other do that? Perhaps it begins with something as simple as making a habit of saying to each other, I love watching you fill in the blank. Or, I love how you fill in the blank. In a world that's all too quick to criticize, complain, condemn, what a difference it can make if we learn how to encourage each other, how to compliment each other, how to recognize the good things people do in life, both here in church and the world around us. It's one reason why whenever the Circles community, that group of folks committed to helping people walk their way out of poverty into economic stability, why when they gather, they end every meeting with everyone in the room hearing a word of appreciation. Think about it. These are persons who struggle from day to day, not just financially, but in terms of their sense of self-worth and respect and dignity. And so the organization has made a commitment that no one will leave its gathering time without everyone hearing a positive word of encouragement and appreciation. Tucked inside your packet of materials this morning is a wonderfully radiant neon pink card that invites you to reflect on the best gift you ever received. Some of these got turned in last Sunday. I hope more got turned in this week. Just flip it over and write in what's the best gift you ever received, or make a drawing of what the best gift is that you ever received. You don't have to be, well, maybe being Picasso would be a good thing based on my inability to draw, but I'm going to draw the best gift I've ever received. And we want to display that beginning next Sunday. We're inviting members of our Friday community and members of our Sunday breakfast community to join us in that same exercise, honoring what it is that each of us has inside as treasure in our lives that we cannot overlook or ignore. Over the coming weeks, we'll begin thinking about our church's stewardship program for this year. And we're going to move in that same direction. We're not going to tell you that we risk losing some income here, so you need to give more. That doesn't convince very many people to do anything. What we want you to do is begin to hear stories of how this church and how Christian faith and how Jesus have touched and transformed the lives of people. I had the privilege this week of two separate conversations. One was a woman who came here from the community looking for some support and help. I've known her for a while. I've known parts of her story for a great while. She refreshed my memory. She told me again about the difficulties that she had as a young child being raised in a broken home that was torn apart by violence and how that has impacted every day of her life ever since. She told me about being in a church, not this one, but another church, and finding herself invited to the altar to pray and the pastor taking a look at her and saying to her, "You don't get it, do you?" What he wanted to hear was, "You don't get how beautiful you are as a child of God. You don't get the truth of your life about how very special and blessed you are. You don't believe it, but it is true. Look around you. The people in this church know how special you are, and God knows, above all, how special you are." And as she told me that story, tears poured down her face as if she were back in the moment, not simply retelling a familiar story, but reliving it and being reminded once more that in spite of the circumstances of her life and the difficulties that she faces every day, the challenges that have been hers throughout her existence, she wants not just to hear, and not just to believe, but to know how truly special and beautiful she is as a child of God. I also had the honor of speaking with some people who have come to this country from another part of the world. And in coming to this country, found for themselves, for the first time in their life, a faith community that welcomed them, in spite of the fact they had not been raised in a church, in spite of the fact they had not even been raised in the Christian faith, a church that threw its doors and its arms and its hearts wide open to them, did not browbeat them about what they had to believe or not believe, simply said, welcome. We love you. We care about you. We're interested in you. We want to get to know you. And because of the heart of that congregation, they decided to join them. They decided to make a commitment of faith outside of the tradition in which they've been raised. They decided to say, I want to be part of a faith community that lives like that day in and day out. Stir up the fire that's in you. Keep it alive. Help it to grow. Encourage one another. Tell each other how beautiful they are. Celebrate the goodness, the richness, the specialness, the treasure that they have inside as a gift of God. Amen.